We can trust God. All right, number three, attention. I put undivided attention. It's because when we pray, show of hands, who's all been distracted before when they've prayed? You know, might be a child, maybe someone, you know, a child, or maybe you were out on a walk and praying and bah, bah, horns are going off, or you might be, you know, wherever we are. It's really, sometimes it's hard to have this undivided attention sometimes. It really is. I've been there. I've got four kids and it's hard. I got to like kind of, I'm going to share that, but I sometimes have to just, I got to go, well, I time it right. It's about timing. We're going to get into that too. You have to time, make a time and a place and make sure that you're able to have that undivided attention and really dine with the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Because our prayers, we're just able to focus so much more. Matthew 6:6, this is a really good one. I think I have it up there. But when we pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now I can't just let my kids just do whatever. If Jess is busy preparing for the meal, you know, for lunch, I can't just be like, honey, I really got to pray now. It's my time. I got to do this and go pray. It's just not the right timing. You know, to let the kids go rampant while she's trying to make lunch and me go pray. So the timing's got to be right, right? And we're going to get into that. But when you go into your room, so God is really, you know, Scripture lays out all over in the place where we really have to be praying to the Lord and really trying to connect and focus our undivided attention to Him. And it can be hard. It can be hard. But it can also be really easy if done the right way. We are human and we will get distracted. We'll find ourselves wandering in thought. But the more we practice focusing our attention by giving God our undivided attention in prayer, the better our prayer life will be. I've got a quote by, I think it's Ali B. Moe, and it says this, giving someone your undivided attention is the epitome of respect. So how often have we done that? We're talking to somebody and we're having this conversation and you kind of start fading out of it somehow. Or they're talking to you and you look the other way because your child is doing something they shouldn't be doing, and all of a sudden it's like, huh? Oh, what did you just say? Or you nod like, yep, mm-hmm. I don't know what you just said. How many times does that happen? Or you notice someone did that to you. You're trying to have a conversation with them. You're like, yes, I had a hard week and it was really tough. I need some advice. So what do you think? And then you're talking to them. This thing happened to me and I don't know what to do. And then they look back at you. Oh, and they get this blank look like, I totally wasn't listening to you. So we know how important it is, right? To have this undivided attention, even with a spouse or a brother or a friend or a father or mother, daughter. It's an amazing connection when we give someone our undivided attention. It's showing respect, reverence for each other. Saying, hey, you know what? I respect you. I want to give this reverence to God. We give reverence to Him by giving Him our undivided attention. Say, Lord, here I am. Nothing else matters to me at this moment. You are what matters to me, and I'm going to pray to you right now. My supplication, I'm going to bring my request to you, and here I am. Let's do this. How much does He love that? I know I love it when I have someone's undivided attention. Are we listening, talking, communicating? So our theme verse today, Jeremiah 29, 12 through 13, says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I just want to end that with that. And, you know, sometimes that's where we got to be. In order to really seek the Lord and find Him with that undivided attention, we need to seek Him. You got to go find Him. The chaos around us, sometimes we can get muddled and distracted, but when we seek Him, when we say, I'm going to seek Him, and it's like a hide-and-go-seek game. You know, who's all played that with their kids? You kind of break up. It's fun. Then you go find Him. We seek and find the Lord. It's an undivided attention. We're going to find Him. Our eyes are fixed on Him. We see Him. All right, we're going to run through these quicker. Number four, time. I wrote down prime time. David sought God in the morning. Psalm 5, verse 3. I'll read all three of them here. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. Jesus, Mark 1:35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. and Abraham in Genesis 19:27. Now Abraham arose early in the morning and went to the place where he had stood before the Lord. So many times the Bible mentions prayer, how people pray to God in the morning. Also Proverbs 8, verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So whether we pray in the morning, afternoon, or evening, it's never the wrong time. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's never the wrong time. But the Bible, because the Bible does say pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, doesn't it? But there's something to be said when we seek him early. Early in the morning. Because what are we doing when we're seeking him early in the morning? Right off the bat. We're getting out of bed, we're seeking him. We're putting him first. That shows reverence. That's saying, you know what? Everything else that's going on in my life right now, it's important. There's things I've got to get done. I've got responsibilities. I've got four kids. I got to get to work. I got a wife I got to love. You know, all these different things that we have responsibilities for, whatever those things are, those are important. But when we put God first, when we put him in that schedule right away in the morning, at the beginning of the day, we were saying, I'm putting you in my day, Lord. I'm reverently coming before you, and I'm going to put you in my day. But I'm going to start it off so I can do this. Again, it's not the wrong time, and it takes practice to make a plan right away in the morning. Because when you ask him, you're saying, Lord, come with me today. Join me in my day. You're welcoming him right away. You're saying, timing is a big deal to the Lord. He wants our time. He wants our love. And when we give him our time, when we give him our affection, that's reverent to him. Time and affection. All right, we'll do this last one quick because we have communion today as well. And I don't want to run out of time. Number five, we wait with patience. So how often do we pray and we just want the answer now? Or when something happens, we just want the results right away, don't we? As a guy, I know for me, if something happens, something breaks in my house, a doorknob doesn't turn right, I want it fixed now. I want to go get my screwdriver and I want to fix it because I can't get out the door. We locked our door last week and it froze shut. I'm like, that's a hard one, trying to get out the door. You got to get somewhere. You got to get it done right now. You expect results. Well, how often is that the same way when we pray? We pray to God, Lord, I pray that you just give me a new job because mine is not working out right now. And you're just like, you're dealing with this pain at work. You just don't want it anymore and you want a new job. You want the results now. You want them to give you the new job. You want the results now. How often do we just kind of get fed up and hurt inside saying, I just wish you'd give me a new job. And we just don't wait. Lamentations 3, 24 through 26. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now I know this is talking about the salvation and the Lord returning and waiting for him, but I think there has a lot to do with just waiting in general. Waiting quietly for God's will to be done. And going back to point 3. And I just think it's important that we wait for him, wait patiently, because God ultimately is in control. We have to come back to that and know that he has everything laid out and we have to trust him. We wait for him to answer and to reveal what his plan is. It's beautiful when we can do that. So in summary, let's go back to the 5 points and we will look at those. Reverence and prayer. We show God reverence and prayer through some of the positions that we do. We stand in awe of him. We may kneel. We may lay. So many different ways we can show position, but really it comes down to what? The attitude of our hearts. You can write that down in there. It's the attitude of our heart. The real position is, where is our heart? We come with a position of respect and sovereignty. That's where we want to be in prayer. His will, knowing we show reverence to him because it is his will, not our will be done, but his will be done. And we give him control and say, Lord, I pray this and this. Your will be done. It's not my will. If this is what your will is, I pray that it's your will. Thirdly, reverence. Another reverence in prayer is we show attention, undivided attention to the Lord. He's worthy of it all, our full attention, all the time. Four, our time. Like I said, prime time, all of our time devoted. We reverently show him our time. When we pray, if we slide out, say, Lord, I'm going to pray with you for 5 minutes today. That's the time we made for him. We're going to show him reverence. We're going to share that time. We're going to go pray with the Lord during that time. And then we wait. How awesome is it to show reverence to the Lord while we wait? We wait earnestly and eagerly for the Lord as he's answering our requests, our supplications to him, and we wait in our heart in honor and respect to know he's got the right plan. All right, I'll ask the band to come forward. We're going to set up for communion right now. And then I'm going to read with you. Going back to the last verse that we just did in Lamentations, in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, just before those verses, it says this. 29, verses 11, it states, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future." That plan for good was accomplished with Christ's death on the cross. He established a new covenant with us if we repent of our sins and believe in him and put our life, our old life, behind us. We welcome you today to join us in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. So what we'll do is we'll have the band play, and as they play the song, I want you guys to reflect. I want you guys to examine yourselves. Come forward, grab the symbols, return to your seat, and then once the band is finished with the song, I'll come back up, and then we'll partake together. Before coming forward, Scripture says we need to examine ourselves before taking communion, so we don't take communion in an unworthy manner. But again, you are all welcome today to join us.